I'm Steven.
I'm Chris.
I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm the French-Canadian Sensation.
And we're the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready.
Because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Let's geek!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wynn.
And I'm Jono Lobster. Grab your binoculars. This is Cronovember.
And this week we are talking about time crimes.
Los Cronocrimines.
Semi-low budget Spanish 2007 movie.
Yeah, it's super low budget because there's only four actors in it and one of them is the director.
The director is the scientist?
Yes.
Okay, I can see that because he was the worst of all the actors. Because
he's not even supposed to be here today.
Right. Yeah. I just came in to play with the machine.
I just wanted to fill up the tank and, you know, get in it naked before, you know.
All right, should we talk about the slightly linear and then branch off into the strange?
Yeah, I mean, this one is tough because this is a time loop movie. Again, this is Cronovember. We're talking time travel. This is a 2007 Spanish film, Time Crimes, directed by Nacho Vigalondo. And it starts in a very mundane sort of way. It's a couple. They've just moved to a new house. They're getting settled. And the guy, I kind of got the impression that they were either retired or this is a vacation house or something like.
Because he just got into town or whatever he said.
Yeah, because they're there to relax. Yeah. They're there to chill.
I got retired.
And they're doing renovations on the house. They're getting new furniture. And this guy, just all he wants to do is chill. So he's sitting in his lawn chair with his binoculars and sees a woman undressing in the forest.
Yeah, if last week was the kind of, I'm going to be very generous with last week movie. Let's say that was a ripple effect style of a time travel story.
Okay. Yeah,
this is a closed loop. And as soon as you get that it's a closed loop.
Well, but is it a closed loop? That's my question, because we never see the prime timeline, right? How does he get
no,
in
there's
the thing?
Wrong.
Because
wrong. We only see the prime timeline.
Yeah, there's no other timeline.
He goes from being Hector to Hector 2 to Hector number 3. And in it, he interacts or sees his past and future selves.
Right, but the
time can't be changed. Yeah. And my big gripe with the movie and why I'm probably going to fight you guys all along during it is that as fun as a time loop movie can be good, even if you know where it's going, this guy kind of wanted to go bad. I mean, every decision he makes
is horrible.
And that's what made me totally got out of the movie. But yeah, if we're categorizing this type of time travel, this is a time loop.
Okay, but I have a question.
I've seen better one.
I need to know.
Okay.
If this is all a time loop, how would he have ever first got in the time machine in the first time through? If there was no woman there to flash her or to pull her shirt up, there's
time
nothing to pull him.
Paradoxical.
Right. There's nothing to pull him to go walk in the woods and look for her so he can stab himself in the arm. There's
The point is that you can't change time. Yeah. Time has already happened. Right. So he's not 1, 2, and 3.
No, he's setting it up. He's setting time up in this.
Even by doing what he thinks is something different, he sets in motion events that he's already seen.
Yep.
He just didn't know, he didn't know why the girl was in the woods undressing. And then he realized, oh shit, this is.
I have to make it happen.
I have to make it happen.
Right,
this is me. Oh,
but still, I understand all that where he does set everything up for himself. But again, in the first run through, if you will. It doesn't make sense to me where she would be.
Because it's time travel. He's already gone back and done it.
There's
He did it. Yeah, it's the chicken and the egg with this one. It's a literal time paradox in that it couldn't have happened if it hadn't happened.
It could not have happened if time travel did not exist.
Right.
And just stop there. The idea of every June 22 at 10 o'clock is just June 22 at 10 o'clock. Even if you go back in time at that moment, back and forth as much as you want, you won't change anything. You'll just reproduce what's supposed to happen on June 22 at 10 o'clock.
So this is kind of the opposite of Groundhog Day. So Groundhog Day is a time loop, and it's a short period of time, and the day repeats itself. But every time, you have the capacity of changing something.
Yeah.
Whereas this, the time period repeats itself as many times as he sends himself back. And he can't go back to the exact same time, so he goes a little bit earlier, and then he has an effect on what his past self is now doing. It's great. Well,
what was the movie where the guy was his own mother and father? That's a little bit like the same thing.
Oh, I love that. It's not his own mother and father, but Predestination. That's on the list for next year or the year after or some year.
But he was his own mother and father.
And it's the Terminator.
Maybe.
You know, if the Terminator hadn't sent back Kyle Reese to save Sarah Connor, then John Connor wouldn't have been born to send Kyle Reese back.
But
to save.
Which time?
Yeah, exactly.
Because now they go before and after and in between, and sometimes he's Christian Bale, and
sometimes it's Thomas Dekker, sometimes Summer Glau is there, sometimes Cersei Lannister is Sarah Connor,
and she's a hell of a Sarah Connor. Mm-hmm. Damn,
she's my favorite. Yeah. As much as I love. Hang on.
Controversy.
I know. Hold on. As much as I love Linda Hamilton and what she did for female actors and hammering that role and making that role so iconic, Terminator 2 is Sarah Connor. But I had, 30 hours, 40 hours of TV to fall in love with Lena Headey as Sarah Connor. So I fell in love with her more, but I understand how iconic Linda Hamilton is.
That show, Gone Before Its Time. That stings a bit, and I feel doesn't get mentioned as often as it should.
Oh, but just the music and the setup for that. When what's his face, the nice guy is the white nice guy is the Terminator, and he just slaughters all those FBI agents with. When the man comes around, Johnny Cash playing in the background. I think it was season one finale. I almost shit.
That actor, every time I see him in something else, right now he's in The Gifted.
Yes, he is.
Sometimes he does comedy, and it's weird. But every time I think of him as the Terminator, and the scene, he's throwing people in the pool, right?
Like, yep.
Yeah.
You see a couple guys get shot. A guy comes over the balcony in the pool. Yeah, and the first time I saw him in The Gifted, that's exactly what I thought.
And Shirley Manson in season two is fantastic.
Yes. But,
and now we're getting Terminator 3.
Sorry.
We're way off track.
It's still time travel, though.
So there's four characters in this. There's Hector.
Wait a minute. When the Terminator overshot and he just buried himself in the building, in the wall of the building?
Yes.
And then also rebooted. Great. Anyways, okay, go on.
There's four characters in this. There's Hector, who's our time traveler, and we see various versions of Hector. There's Clara, who's his wife. There's the woman in the forest, and then there's the scientist.
And the woman in the forest is gorgeous.
Right. And also kind of looks like Clara, and that plays a role later on.
Mm-hmm.
Some reviews of this movie they say that this is actually an allegory for having an affair. Because if you look at, we talked about the dumb decisions he makes are to like the kind of things someone does if they're like trying to cover up an affair or an indiscretion, like they do stupid things or they don't think their actions through. And it's kind of like that because all of this starts because he wants to get a closer look at the naked girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 years from now, he would have been able to do it on his phone, but you know.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I can see that it is all, it's like one trip and then a stumble and then he's jogging forward and he falls down.
Yeah.
It's like he never can catch his footing, and everything he does makes it sets up that first quote unquote timeline.
And he crashes his car. Well, not even his
three
car.
Times.
He crashes a car twice. Yeah,
well, twice.
Yeah. And in causing a crash, causes another crash, and then...
Well, he actually busts through the gate with his own car, too, so...
Yeah, that's true. There's so many twists in this, and it was hard watching it the first time, because you're trying to... You're, like, trying to stay one step ahead and be like, okay, what's going to happen next? Okay, this has to happen. Where does the dumpster come from? The bicycle?
Right.
You're following... Yeah.
Three times I watched this, I thought she was dead each time. I always forget she's not dead. Like, he falls on her, and I'm like, oh, that's not good.
She's not dead until he thinks it's his wife who's not dead.
Right.
Yeah. And then, how about when he realized that it wasn't his wife who was dead?
He's like, no, just sit here.
Yeah, he's just stay here. And then he has to make the other... girl look like his wife to fool himself.
So now, okay, this all happens. I like how they show you his face multiple different ways, right? He's the normal guy, then he's got the bandage, then the one bump on his face, then the huge gash and the busted eye.
Looks like a zombie.
But now, what happens after all this? Him and his wife are sitting there, no, don't go, ah, whatever, and then his car speeds off again, or whatever happens.
Yeah, and then the police show up.
You have a dead woman in your fucking garden still.
Right. Yes, you do.
And then what do you say? Your wife and you were sitting there, and you heard some commotion, and you didn't see anything, and then someone drove off with your car?
Yeah.
Obviously, someone broke into our house, stole our car.
Who is this woman? In your wife's jacket.
You know, we just moved here. We don't know what local kids get up to. Like,
you know, we just worked that out pretty easy.
Days later, that the bike was found at this place, and on the other end, there's his blood in like three car crash around.
Yeah,
so forensics are just going totally mad because at some point, like he's opening his arm wound to make his mask, and you just see pus going down.
He stabbed himself.
Yeah, stupid ass.
Yeah, but okay, no, wait. That is something I think they got away from, because this time I noticed when he was unbandaging his arm or whatever, it was like white and red. Was that just the fluid that he came out of? Or I don't, was that pus?
It was only I feel it was like, healing in between every time.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know,
but healing it's only a few hours, though. It's like he lived that day maybe an extra 6 hours, 8 hours of it.
Yeah, but maybe he's healing in the bathtub, you know, while he's getting teleported to the other time or something. That, actually, I thought about that because every time he got out, he seems a little bit better, even if he's supposed to be worse, you know?
You know, every time he got out, he looked more fucked up, like pale and...
Well, I think it's disorienting, and it's kind of cool how they do it. The first time he gets in the tub, he's like drowning. And then by the third time, he's like, yeah, whatever.
He's just hopping out of it.
Yeah.
Okay, now I have a question. Have we all seen Primer?
Yeah. No, I have not.
Shut up.
Primer, interestingly enough, was in development at the same time as this. And the director knew about it, and he had to decide whether or not to keep making this movie or give up, because... obviously, there are some similarities.
Right.
And he said, you know what, fuck it. This is going to happen my whole life. So I'm just going to make this movie. And he said they actually work well as companion pieces.
They do.
Because they're totally different version of time. Again, they see time as a spiral instead of seeing it as a loop.
Yeah, but see, Primer is way more heady and deep. Next Chronovember, it has to be week one or two.
Chronovember,
They split them back in their you'll forget by then. Their pods are collapsible, so you have to plan for it, right? But you can't use the same pod and traverse back over the same amount of time. So technically, his body was in this tub in Time Crimes three different times, overlapping the same time.
Yeah.
You feel my problem with that wing?
Yeah.
Knowing
I think
Primer?
It's just teleporting. Yeah, I think this one is just teleporting.
Okay.
I don't think there's ever... They establish the rules as you can only go to another time when the machine is on.
Right, and so the tub's got to be filled.
Yeah, yeah. And he felt it was on in the afternoon because the guy was messing around. And then it was on at night because he was told to turn it back on. And it was only, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's.
You're right. It would have to work. We'll just call it. It's just a teleport. You get teleported back the 6 hours or whatever it was.
Right. And you're able to go like 40 seconds beforehand or whatever.
Well, because it's all different jump times, right? Yeah. I mean, he jumps now and then he realizes.
Jump to the exact same point.
And I think the tub needs to be filled to go.
Yes.
When you get there, it's empty. So they can come in as even if the tub is empty. Because the 40-second delay between
he's not gonna be able
3
to fill
and 2
it.
At the end would not have worked.
Right.
And I think it wasn't full in the morning because the guy asked, was the tub full with white liquid when you got in? I think he asked that of Hector when he was running away.
Yeah, it's kind of Hector number one because he knew that Hector number two told him that Hector number one would. Anyway.
Time travel movie, science fiction, zero special effects.
True.
But do they sell it?
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. Years ago, Primer and a handful of other movies made me realize that you don't need that. You just need a good narrative and good plot devices.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't think about until the end of the film that, holy shit, there was no CGI or, not even any special lights or anything like that that sold the time travel. I mean, there were obviously stunts. There was makeup and stuff like that. But
basically all the budget is in cars that they're kind of crashing, but not really. So it's, I think that's where their budget was.
There's an IKEA table that they smash, but
which
whatever.
I don't understand. They couldn't get it in the house, but then somehow they couldn't get it in the house
or the door,
but then it's at the top of the stairs.
Listen, I see this as Sundance. I find that it's an interesting movie, but I'm not sure I'm buying it.
Well, what's interesting is it premiered at Fantastic Fest.
That's a good place to premiere for that kind
almost
of movie.
Almost immediately, David Cronenberg wanted to remake it in English language. Yeah. So, I mean, I could totally see that.
Oh, yeah. Give that to Cronenberg.
It also would work really, really well as a Black Mirror episode, except I think in the Black Mirror episode, the wife dies because she was the one with the long hair and she decided to cut her hair like Gift of the Magi style.
Okay.
Yeah, and he stays with the other lady.
Yeah,
in the end, yeah.
Because he thinks it's his wife or something. I don't know.
That could be. Yeah, you see that could have been interesting too.
But Cronenberg, and now this director Nacho Vigalondo just directed, I believe, Beef. You mentioned this film, Colossal, with Anne Hathaway.
I haven't seen it yet, but I have been wanting to watch it.
It's on the Hulu.
Oh,
if
nice.
You would like to see it.
What is it?
Colossal is the one where there's Anne Hathaway, but there's also a giant kaiju that does whatever Anne Hathaway does.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Because you see this movie, again, it's going to be difficult to rank it, and I didn't really think about it before we got here. But this is a good opening card. It's a good opening card. But if I go in theater and I see that, whatever language it is, because I don't really care, I think the production value, like you said, for that story, you don't need more money than what they got. Maybe a little bit better lighting.
I think the narrative could have been tightened. I think it could have been better acted. And then you would have an amazing film. I don't think the answer is make it with a bigger budget. I think you make it with maybe a script doctor go in.
Yeah, that's where I'm putting the budget. Script doctor, a better director of photography, more lighting. That kind of stuff. Not special. Well, maybe a little bit of special effect when it goes in time. Like, Back to the Future style. We're going to put fire out behind the car. That's going
to
work.
We want to talk about movies that look good. We were talking a little bit before the show, because now we've all seen Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
Can we all agree that Roger Deakins...
If he's not nominated, he's not the best.
There's a thing about the miniatures on IO9 right now. It talks about the scale, and it's just gorgeous the work that they did on some of that shit.
I would I would be hard pressed to, if you were going to say, okay, what are your five favorite scenes in a movie you've seen this year? Four of them would probably be from Blade Runner.
Yep. Agreed. And I mean, the other one would be from Logan.
Yeah. Logan, the scene in Wonder Woman. Again,
yeah, that scene.
But
yeah.
But I mean, like I would take my list and I would have the scene at the end with the car and the water. I would have the scene at the beginning where it's the kind of the haze and he's going to the dead tree and all that stuff.
And all that.
Going into the kitchen. There's a scene, you know, where he's going into the dead Las Vegas. Yeah, there's multiple shots and scenes in that film that I would say are some of the best of the year.
The intro, dead Las Vegas, and the Palace of Wallace. I love it when you walk in and you have the bodies from Prometheus and all that stuff going down. It's amazing.
Okay. So I think this film, again, coming at it from my art house legends background, I really appreciate what the director does. Again, with very little money, this is his first feature film. It's certainly got a lot of promise to it. Again, he wrote the script. It's his concept. So very interesting. Again, I could see it as an episode of Black Mirror. I could see it in a Cronenberg type of adaptation, but that's pretty cool.
Are we ready to rate this one?
Wing, for time crimes, are you going legendary?
Not your average time travel movie.
Legend of its time.
Groundhog Day afternoon.
Cult legend.
Timeless classic.
Awesome.
Villa Thrilla.
Entertaining.
Hector, damn near killed her.
Mayable.
Mummy dreariest.
Forgettable.
Waste of time.
Abysmal.
Spain in the neck.
Spring Break Highlander.
Okay, this one actually works very well. Hot Tub Time Machine.
God, that works well.
Can we make that two? Can we make that two?
Hot Tub Time Machine. Yeah, sure. Even worse. So
yeah, even worse.
All right. I'm changing that
too.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of full frontal nudity and flying IKEA side tables.
Oh dear God, I'm gonna have to go Waste of Time. That's forgettable. Again, it's interesting what they did, but I've seen these kind of thing, done better in short.
Well,
and I'm serious with this. Like in a really short period of time, you can have the same movie and being more efficient. If I was a producer looking for my next director, not my next screenwriter, my next director, I'm hiring this guy. But overall. I understand why I didn't know what it was before. This movie, as good as it is for a small festival run-up, it's basically what it is, and you really need to like time travel to find it interesting again for something that probably has been done in Twilight Zone.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I'm putting it at forgettable because I know in 2 years we're going to talk about that. I'm going to be like, wait, what? Which one was that? The one with the weird midget coming from the wall? You know, I know that's where I'm going to be. So forgettable.
Did you say midget from the wall?
Yeah, the one with the midget in the wall.
I started watching Time Bandit instead, and then
that's for next week. Okay, so Lobster.
Putting me on the spot here. So this is, again, tough for me. Time loop stories are a tough sell because I associate them with, like, bottle episodes of Star Trek. And we need to save money this week, so we're going to use the same five sets. That said, the recent episode of Star Trek Discovery, which is actually a time loop episode, was fantastic and maybe one of my favorite episodes of the series so far. So
maybe?
Probably. I would be hard pressed to pick a better one. This movie in particular, again, I didn't know what to make of it. I knew it's a Spanish film, low budget. So let's see what it is. And I actually had a really good time with it. I'm going to go with entertaining. Hector damn near killed her because
I love that.
Again, it's fun stuff, and it's a satisfying ending to the movie because it's not only wrestling with the mechanics of time travel, it's also wrestling with the idea that what you saw happened. And just because you're the cause of it happening doesn't mean that it can't not happen. So I guess what I'm saying is, so he knows that the girl dies, and he doesn't have a choice not to, like, he doesn't have a choice to save her. Do you know what I mean? Like, he knows that she has to die because he saw her die. There's no changing what happened or what will happen. So that's kind of an interesting proposition. And you almost wonder, like, is he morally culpable for her death? That'll bake your noodle.
Well, one third of him is.
At least, yeah, at least. So I'll give it entertaining. Beef?
All right, I am going to split the middle and go a high-end Mabel, Mummy Dreariest. Okay. I had very fond memories of this movie, and I still liked it a lot. It was fun watching the
time.
When
did you watch it first?
Probably 2008.
Okay. So right
2009,
after
yeah.
So just early. Before Legend. So yeah. Just before I started telling you, like, watch the first 10, 15 minutes, everything's in there.
Yeah, no, and I still wouldn't have picked up on it then. It took me years to listen to you. But yes, so it was a little bit longer and slower parts than I remembered, than it needed to be, so I do understand Wing's thing there. But, I mean, Mummy Dreariest.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I think the pace for the movie they have a wonderful pacing. For the movie they have, I'm just saying that this is a story.
Well, for me, maybe I knew relatively some of the parts that were coming, so it felt a little clunky to me. But I will give it aside a full frontal nudity and flying IKEA tables that apparently won't fit in the door. Those. Yeah, it is what it is. You like Lobster said, you kind of see what happens right away. You know what you're going to follow through and get to. It's just a matter of getting there. But, you know, now he's all beat up and the cops are coming. And, oh, yeah, what is he going to say to the cops when they arrive and his face is beat to a fucking pulp?
Well,
that's a perfect alibi.
I borrowed a car and I crashed it, and then I borrowed another car and I crashed it, and then somebody stole my car and broke into my house and fell off the roof
and killed a lady. Okay, one other quick question before we close out this one. What the hell? Whoever has a cut on their forehead and wraps their face like the fucking Invisible Man?
At some point, I felt that he was doing stuff because he saw something and he was like, "I need to reproduce it." At some time, I felt he was filling over it. That was a problem for me in the movie.
The interesting one was where he's turning around and making the binocular
eyes. That was awesome.
And he keeps doing it, and then he's like, "No shit, that wasn't right." And he does it again. He's like, "Oh no, that wasn't right."
Well, because he knows see himself run.
Yeah, he knows he has to do it, but it's just a matter of he's got to do it a couple times to get it right. And I love that.
That one's not bad, but when he sees the bandage on his face and he's like, "Oh, I'm the bad guy," he's like embracing it. I was like, okay, well, then he's going for a psycho, but then he kind of turned again. He's all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is he was told that if he doesn't get in the thing, then he dies. So he's like, well, I have to reproduce what happened. But then there's like another iteration to it where he realizes or thinks that leads to his wife's death. And look, we've already rated the movie. We're talking about it more.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Everybody's got to add another half point.
Any words. Anyways, yes, that's the whole point. Good movie. Watch it. Or don't, because Wing says not to. Last word on time crimes? Wing.
Watch Primer.
Oh, he's right.
Yeah. Always introduce yourself to your neighbors when you move to a new neighborhood.
Fuck yeah.
And ask them if they have a time machine.
Not with an erection and binoculars.
No. Not cool, man. Not cool. What time is it?
News time.
Speaking of time travel,
it's Justice League time. But
speaking
whatever.
Of time loops, Thor is number one at the box office for the second week in a row.
Thor is overperforming like crazy.
Yeah, so it is.
Thor is now like, they were able to market that movie as an Avenger 2.5 the same way they did that with Civil War. And if they keep doing this, they're able to have like a very decent semi-Avenger revenue before getting the $1 billion.
It's a nice
same
springboard.
Thing with Spider-Man Homecoming, because they had Iron Man in it too. So
yeah, I watched Spider-Man Homecoming, and I think Iron Man helped a lot for the people to go back at the movies.
The people that had been burned on Spider-Man movies before and were like, why should I go see that? Oh, Iron Man's in it? Fine.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
It was good.
Yeah, but the things that kind of crushed my heart, I haven't seen the movie yet, but I wanted to see it, was Murder on the Orient Express, and I think I will, but
where
it
starts as when,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are the reviews?
Middle of the road.
Yeah. So that's the one that I want to see when it's middle of the road that way. And it's directed by Kenneth Branagh. Yeah, so I'm always curious to
Branagh,
see what he does.
Yeah. Director of Thor 1.
Yeah. But yeah, and he's getting screwed by Thor 3. But yeah, I heard Johnny Depp is basically ruining this movie again. So I was like, ugh. Okay, Johnny. I think we're done.
Okay, Johnny.
Go play a pirate. And Blade Runner keeps dropping like a ton of brick. I mean, the studio has announced that they're going to lose between 70 and 80 million.
On Blade Runner?
Yep.
Damn.
Even with sales?
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe they can make it back in award season, but I don't know. If they re-release.
It would need to be in nomination for a bunch of things. On the other end, there's less movies that they can nominate right now. So,
yeah.
I mean,
all right, so you mentioned at the top of news that this is Justice League weekend. So I want to take your temperature, and this is tough because it's Tuesday. We're recording on Tuesday, and Rotten Tomatoes still has not released a score for Justice League, and they're not
the
embargo
Tuesday.
Goes till tomorrow. No, the embargo on reviews
tomorrow morning
goes
tomorrow?
Until tomorrow morning, 2:30 a.m. But Rotten Tomatoes has said they will not score the film until Thursday.
Okay, that's what I've read. Okay,
so
that makes sense. They need to take the time to gather.
Well, I think they're afraid that DC or Warner is going to sue them. Because that's the kind of noise they've been making in the past.
Which is fucking stupid. It's a collection of people. If the collection of people says your movies suck and other people don't go see it because of that, well, that's everyone who's involved's fault. Not just, I mean...
Correct.
You're going to sue everybody for money?
With that said, and just looking at what Thor Ragnarok just delivered, are you... What's your spread for Justice League? Are you going, it's going to come in on par with Ragnarok, it's going to overperform Ragnarok, it's going to underperform?
Actually, I think Ragnarok's going to help Justice League, because people are going to be like, oh, another team thing, and the last trailer slash TV spot seems funny. The social media reaction, because now that's a thing. There's social media reaction before there's review, before there's the Metacritic / Rotten Tomato stuff.
Sure.
So right now, the social media stuff seems to be positive. It's fun, it's stupid, it's fun, good time. You know what? I think that's a movie that's probably going to rank at around then 50 to... I would say in the range of 55 to 45. It's going to be a divisive one. It's not going to be a Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Cash-wise?
Opening weekend.
There's for Batman.
Opening weekend domestic for Justice League.
How much did Suicide Squad made?
I don't know. I'll tell you right now. Wonder Woman came in at $103 million.
Yeah, that, That I remembered, but Batman was not
just,
in that movie.
That's just about 10 million below what Thor 3 just opened to.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad opened at 133 million.
Then I think the movie is going to open around the same thing as.
Okay, so.
Not Suicide Squad, Thor.
We'll call it 115 million.
110.
110 million, okay.
Yeah.
Justice League, here we go. Beef?
Oh, I don't know or give a shit. I mean, if Suicide Squad made 133
in August.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll bet you it'll make that. It'll make 133, which I know is shooting way high. I was going to say it's not going to make much money. But if Suicide Squad made that, more people are going to go see these more iconic.
I think it's all going to depend how front-loaded it is.
The thing is,
because if it comes out and Rotten Tomatoes
word of mouth.
If Rotten Tomatoes says 45%, it's not going to have a strong Saturday and Sunday.
You're right.
But if it comes out and it's like 75, maybe it gets a bump going into the weekend. Now, again, it'll probably, I don't know, next week's Thanksgiving here in the States. Where does it stand? I don't know.
I have no idea. The thing.
Oh,
the
it Trump, is Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, the weird card in there is that there's Thanksgiving week. And the second thing is people loved Wonder Woman. That movie is still making money right now.
It's so interesting is all of the theaters are doing double features of Wonder Woman and Justice League.
Not
Batman versus Superman, which is, this is technically a sequel to, this is following up the death of Superman and putting together the Justice League. Batman v Superman was the lead in to Justice League. They're showing Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So that's the thing. Because let's be honest, we're talking about Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And we're giving this 110, 115, 130. We would be talking about fucking Thor, Iron Man, and Hulk that it's nobody true. Knew who they were like 20 years ago. And we would be like 230.
What's kind of interesting is if you look at the yearly box office, Wonder Woman is really close to Guardians of the Galaxy, 2017 worldwide grosses. So this weekend, when people are paying for Wonder Woman tickets to also see Justice League, this could bump Wonder Woman up, maybe even into the top five of 2017.
So that's where I don't know how this movie gonna perform because when you're following a good movie, usually people follow you. But what is the conception of sequel in people now? I mean, we're not the right people to ask that. I know which movie is connected to what crap. But for my mom, is this just, there's Wonder Woman and Batman in this. I liked them together last time. Or I just liked that Wonder Woman chick the last time. Why wouldn't I go back? I don't know how much this effect is. So maybe we're totally off and this is going to make 200 million weekend, then it's going to go over and the in Thanksgiving weekend's going to bleed off. Who knows?
I guess the thing is we don't really know what to compare it to, except maybe if we went back to 2012 and talked about the Avengers, right? Like maybe if we compared it to the first Avengers movie, which really was a shock that it did as well as it had.
Yeah, nobody thought it would.
Nobody knew what it was going to do. So,
had humor in it, which hopefully they've done again now with this, the reshoots.
Who did they bring in to do the reshoots? They brought in Joss Whedon.
I'm just saying. It's insane.
One of the guys that I really like because I can read a little bit what's going to be his review against what I like. Just in his 140 character when he gets out of these things, and the way he worded was basically they made it funny and friendshipy, which makes you forget the bad plot.
That's
so
good.
You know what, I'm okay with that because when you look at Avenger again, it's the worst plot ever.
How quickly can they make you forget that Zack Snyder was involved?
But that's the thing, and other people are saying, like, visual, that's the best of both worlds. They really did exactly what we wanted. This is a beautiful movie, but it's beautiful movie a la Zack Snyder, because let's face
he
it,
brings
again,
the pretty.
He brings the pretty, and just Whedon makes an Avenger. It looks like an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sure. It's the same kind of shots, and it, and that's where it comes from. The guy's a good writer. So anyway, best of both worlds. So I'm hoping that I'm going to get that. And this is, again, I think it's going to be a divisive movie. That's why I'm putting it straight in the middle. On
it already is, because the Amazons are scantily clad, and there are things. Ben Affleck says that he's looking for a cool way to get out of playing Batman.
Oh, we all knew that.
What an idiot.
So, yeah, which I guess is a narratively convenient way to write himself out of the franchise. Okay, so I want to talk about some other news, and I don't know if you guys want to add anything here, but on the business side, we were talking last week that there's some fallout from, well, basically everything that's happening in Hollywood right
Everyone
now.
Everyone being a
and
dick.
And it seems like studios are trying to distract from this, basically by spending a lot of money on development deals and rights acquisitions. MGM is allegedly very close to a deal with Annapurna for the distribution of the next James Bond film.
Can Annapurna purchase James Bond after losing $80 million in Blade Runner?
I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's because the James Bond license is not a good license to have. It's a prestigious license to have. But as the distributor, you don't make money. Yeah. It's just to say that you have that.
Quentin Tarantino is being wooed by Paramount, Warner Brothers, and Sony. Did you guys read the details of what these studios are doing to try to get Tarantino's ninth film?
Yeah, I read a little bit about the one being all 60s cars and the 60s logo.
Okay, so he's developing a film. He wrote a script that evidently centers around the 1969 Manson family murders and all of that. And Margot Robbie is attached to play Catherine Tate. Not Catherine Tate. Did I say that? Shannon
it's
Tate.
It's supposedly
sorry.
Not. Okay, never mind. Yep, go ahead.
So he's doing that. And evidently this is a good script because all of the studios that are bidding have read it. Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Leo are all attached or in talks. And they're eyeing up $100 million production budget. And then on top of that, Tarantino will get first dollar returns, meaning he gets pre-tax royalties and final cut of the film. I mean, he's done all his stuff at Miramax and Weinstein Company, so this is also a prestigious get for a movie studio.
Yeah, because a Tarantino movie gross you, what, $35 million, $40 million long run? I mean, on 6 months? That's what you get. Look at the average. I don't think you get more than that.
You don't make big dollar signs.
So you don't put $100 million.
It's a prestige name to put out there and say that nominated for how many Academy Awards that they always are and so on.
He basically decided that this was his one chance to spend as much money from somebody else as he could, knowing they'll never see a penny back.
Maybe.
Because let's face it, if they just wanted to have Tarantino under them, Warner just go with a piece of paper, write Kubrick contract, send it to Tarantino in a brown envelope, and when he gets it, he's going to sign it.
I think he'll go with Warner.
But
it's interesting that he's... I mean, it's interesting to me that there are other studios in the running, and this is like a big ego-stroking fest.
Bidding war, yeah.
Sony needs anything to get out of jail free card, and Tarantino knows that, so he's not going to go with it. Sony.
No.
Paramount is prestigious, though.
Yeah,
they might like that.
I could see it.
Yeah, they don't have as much money as Warner, but still.
Well, I mean, Amazon and Google. You know, Amazon's right there, spending what $250 million to buy Lord of the Rings rights.
We have to talk about this. We have to talk about this.
They already did.
So this is a done deal. Amazon has bought the development rights to the Lord of the Rings.
Close to 250.
From the Tolkien estate for a reported $250 million. And basically, you talked about a piece of paper. This is them buying a piece of paper that says you can do Lord of the Rings. This is not a completed script. This is not a treatment for a TV show.
No, this is not TV rights, not movie rights, not rights to do anything
right
else.
To spend $100 million developing it into a TV show. This is the right to, I mean.
Yeah, but this is the right to do whatever you want with it on Amazon.
This is the right to fail at making a Lord of the Rings TV show. This is what it is. Yeah. $250 million to learn that. I don't think we're going to see any remake of these for a long time.
Well, we talked about this a little bit last week, and I mean, for what it's worth, we're closing in on 20 years since the original three films.
Game of Thrones ends in how long? They're going to need
Game of Thrones is on
crack.
Its final season. Yeah.
Are we
so
that old?
if they can pull this off, and let's say they don't start with the films. Let's say they start with, we're going to do a prequel series that's set between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. That seems like a safe space.
That'd be perfect. I'd watch that.
They can have characters that they know. They can have Gandalf and Aragorn and Frodo and what's his face and who's he what's it. And,
that guy from Stranger Things. And
Yeah. They can all run around. It's fine.
On the other end, none of these peoples are working right now. So the only guy you can't get is Gandalf. And who cares? There's not that much in this.
Right. But what I'm saying is they can start there. They can develop their TV series. It can go for 8 seasons.
Either way, even if it fails, $250 million to Amazon is nothing.
Yeah.
Disney spent $4 billion a property that they keep churning shit out of. If Amazon can do a third of that, they'll make cash.
Yeah. Yeah, but
and so so you have your Lord of the Rings prequel show, and it's on for, let's say, 8 seasons, fine. And then they say, okay, it's now 25 years since Peter Jackson's trilogy. Let's do the Lord of the Rings. And then they can say, you know what, we're not going to do another set of movies. We're going to do each one as a mini series. And I mean, they can just keep going and going and going, and then they'll say, oh, you know, what happens after Lord of the Rings? Let's tell that story, and then whatever.
How much we bet that this is a fail?
I don't think we're going to know for at least 5 years.
Do you plan on stopping doing this thing? We've had bet that Guardian of the Galaxy would crash. They had the second movie, and the third one is planned, so we can't take that bet. Trust us. So...
All right, speaking of bets, we haven't seen The Last Jedi yet, but Lucasfilm and Disney are apparently confident enough that rather than have Rian Johnson come in and direct the next episode of this Star Wars trilogy, he's going to create an all-new Star Wars trilogy, a non-Skywalker Star Wars trilogy.
That's a good thing.
I think so.
Beef?
Okay. I'm sure that'll happen. I mean, look how many, like we've talked about, look how many other good writers and directors have come in only to be ousted in the last minute or last couple months or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
but
hang on. Shut up. Hear me out. He may just make an outment, just make a treatment or get the idea out there, but it's all going to be completely tweaked. It may still have his DNA, but it's not like he's going to be... He may be instrumental for the whole thing. I don't know. But the likelihood that they're going to stay attached to one person for that long is, if history repeats itself, not good.
The deal right now is that he's writing everything. He's producing them all. But he's only directing the first one, a la George Lucas. They want to reproduce the same pattern based on what they saw on set. And everything we've heard, let's face it, with all the problems that Lucasfilm had, everything we heard on that set went exactly as planned.
Yeah.
They probably like that a lot when you go back to J.J. Abrams to be like, okay, we like what you do there. We could ask you to replace for this thing right away, but we prefer getting the other guy that we know exactly what he's going to do and boldly take you where no Star Wars fan has gone before.
It's true.
Well, let's hope. True. Let's hope, but I don't know.
Also kind of below the fold on this article is that Disney's developing its own streaming service and is going to do a live-action Star Wars TV show.
We knew that. Let's face it. That was the worst hidden secret in Hollywood since they announced their streaming channel.
All right. Any other news before we talk trailers?
I think there's just that one about the Spider-Man spinoff being Morbius.
Oh, right. Morbius the Living Vampire is on Sony's slate for a Spider-Man spinoff. I don't think we're ever going to see that one.
No. But we did see Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. I mean,
tell me one fact about Morbius the Living Vampire.
I only know because I read it a little bit earlier.
Okay, tell me one fact.
I'm scrolling to find it again.
He's basically a mutant-based genetic
vampire. A scientist who suffered a rare blood disease and attempted to cure himself to disastrous results. He instead became afflicted with some shit and now has a thirst for blood and superhuman strength.
I don't think we'll ever see that as a Blade ripoff at Sony, because let's face it, that kind of would be it. Look at how Venom is difficult to get off the ground. I think that may actually be the next Spider-Man villain, because if you look, even if you told us the story of Spider-Man, they've always cycled their villain. The only one that came back for like a second was Green Goblin, but the main villain always cycled. So,
well, are they going to make Morbius an anti-hero and kind of give him his own Deadpool kind of thing, or what are they doing? Or is that's their MO with Venom, I think.
Can we be honest? Sony announced a bunch of crap about Spider-Man, and all they keep releasing Sinister is
Six.
Spider-Man.
We're going to have Sinister Six. We're going to have Black Cat and Silver Sable.
Oh, what was
We're going to do an Aunt May prequel.
Aunt May Detective prequel. Don't forget that one. Yeah, his parents prequel.
Yep. I'm calling it right now. We will never see a Morbius the Living Vampire movie.
I'm barely sure that we might. Are we going to see Venom again? I'm not sure. I know they're signing people, but
I will say
there's pictures of dude.
I will say right now that Amazon's Lord of the Rings series gets renewed for its fifth season before we see Morbius the Living Vampire.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not taking that bet. You're probably right.
I mean, again, I know who Morbius the Living Vampire is. He was on the Spider-Man animated series.
Yeah, that's all I know about.
The episodes where Morbius the Living Vampire was on, I was like, I'm not going to watch this. I'm going to flip over to X-Men. Because
Blade was there sometime, and Morbius was like sucking people with his hand. Wow. It was very fucking weird.
He did suck people with his hand.
It was very weird, but when Blade was there, that was cool.
Okay. Blade was fine.
Blade was fine, and Blade and the Punisher in the same episode at some point, I think, of Morbius. That was fun. I like that TV show. We should watch that.
Oh. All right. The Greatest Showman. Speaking of, what's Logan up to these days? Oh, he's P.T. Barnum. In a musical?
A P.T. Barnum musical is crazy.
Yes. From the La La Land people.
Okay.
It looks good. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It looks good like this, but if you remember, every time we have like a movie that's really, really recognized that's a musical, a little bit later, there's like another one that comes out that looks very good, but that's not. I'm afraid that's what we're going to get.
Oh, okay. So do you think they had a P.T. Barnum spec script and said, okay, but what if it was a musical?
I think they got the guy from La La Land, showed him a bunch of spec script, and he said, but I'm going to rewrite it.
Yeah. P.T. Barnum one, go Moulin Rouge on it.
Yep. I think that's what happened. That's usually how these things happen. Their second, third project.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman, Zac Efron, how can it go wrong?
Jackman, Zac Efron.
Do you remember Pan?
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But I hope it's going to be great. I hope we're all going to be like Oscar winner. It's
premiering a week after like Star Wars, so I don't think anyone's going to notice it.
Is it a real premiere? It's a soft premiere, and then it's going to be released in mid-January.
No, it said December 20th.
Okay, so it's a real premiere. Okay. The Post, I think, is like
Hey, that. The Post, I, Margot, comes out in a couple weeks.
Hi, Tanya.
I'm sorry, I, Margot. Margot's in it. I, Tanya. Yeah,
that looks Margot. Good. That looks good.
That looks fine. That's going to do okay. Again, I don't know. I don't know how award season is going to go this year. It's currently a shit show out there. So it's, I mean, Lady Bird's getting good press. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri is getting press. So we'll see how those do in the next few weeks.
The movie that's scratching, what's his name? Kevin Spacey is getting press.
Yeah. What? Replaced by Christopher Plummer. They're reshooting. It's the All the Money in the World, which is about John Paul Getty.
Okay.
And it's basically Kevin Spacey was in the lead, and they said, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. It's Ridley Scott, right, is directing it. And
yeah. It was not in the lead. He had a bit part.
But. Okay. So his scenes are replaced. They're just going to reshoot.
$2.5 million because he was like, I'm not doing face replacement of all that jazz. We're resetting everything. Let's go. We're getting Christopher Plummer instead.
Nice. Yep.
Go.
I think it's fine.
Well, it's like they reset time.
It's fine. They looped. They loopered.
Next time on Legends Podcast, Time Bandits. That's going
to
be fun. And
do we have to?
Yes.
We are. We are. That's midgets in the walls, my friend.
All right. This has been episode 348 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef Sang. I'm actually excited for Time Bandits. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, so I'll probably hate it.
I'm John D. Sang. Well, I never saw it, so it's probably going to be weird.
I am John O. Lobster saying the reason I know no one has invented time travel yet is they have not come back to warn me not to go see Justice League.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.